Embrace the Word for Monday, May 25, 2026. Embracing Psalm 68. Psalm 68 is a song of celebration. The superscription for Psalm 68 states that it is Davidic, to the choir master, a psalm of David, a song. While the superscription does not provide a historical context, the content of Psalm 68 itself suggests that it is highly likely around the time that David brought the Ark to Jerusalem. See 2 Kings 6. While this is a strong estimation, we cannot be absolute about the historical context of this psalm. As we have already noted, Psalms 65 through 68 each share the description of a song in their superscription, suggesting that they are a subcollection within the Psalter. The themes traced through these four psalms add to the notion that they serve together as a special subcollection. All four psalms emphasize blessing the Lord. 65:10, 66:8 and 20, 67:1, 6 and 7, 68:19, 26 and 35. Psalm 68 particularly highlights the progression of the Lord's rule and reign as it culminates in the building of the temple in Jerusalem. Psalm 68 begins with praise for the ascendancy of the Lord in Zion, 68:1-18, and concludes with the acclamation of the Lord's rule with a response of praise, 68:19-36. Psalm 68 opens with language borrowed from the book of Numbers. God shall arise, his enemies be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. 68:1. As the Ark of the Covenant led God's people from Sinai through the wilderness and eventually to the Promised Land, the description of the procession of the Ark is reused. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. See Numbers 10:35. David is using language from the past to indicate what the Lord would soon do as he ascends to his throne in Zion. The result of this ascendancy will be twofold. First, the first result pertains to those who hate the Lord. In describing how they will flee, David adds, as smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. 68:2. The second result, as a result of the first result, pertains to the Lord's people. But the righteous shall be glad. They shall exult before God. They shall be jubilant with joy. 68:3. Four terms for joy are used: glad, exult, be jubilant, joy, to underscore the completeness of joy that comes to those who trust in the Lord. In light of what God is going to do, a call is issued to sing. Sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exult before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity. 68:4-6. The God who led his people through a desert wilderness to the Promised Land, who has led his people from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, is to be celebrated. For he settled his people and protected even the most vulnerable of them from exploitation and oppression. However, those who rejected him perished in the wilderness, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. 68:6. After what seems to be the introductory overview of the Lord guiding and caring for his people until they safely entered the Promised Land, verses 7 through 18 reenacts the journey to Mount Zion, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. 68:7-10. The description of Numbers 10:35, which was used in verse 1, is revisited. The imagery is also from Exodus, as Israel begins at Mount Sinai amid the earth quaking, Exodus 19:18, and through the rescuing, trembling quakings and raging storms through the times of Deborah and Barak. See Judges 5:4. The Lord ensured that his people safely obtained their inheritance, that is, the promised land. The Lord established a home for his people. Israel's placement in the land was a result of a victorious conquest. The Lord gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee. The women at home divide the spoil, though you men lie among the sheepfolds. The wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with simmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings, there let snow fall on Zalmon. 68:11-14. The description of the conquest of the land harkens back to the celebration of Deborah's song of triumph. See Judges 5:19 in particular. The kings and armies of God's enemies are soundly defeated, and the women are able to take in the spoils of victory, even as the defeated armies lie scattered like snow on the mountains. The imagery of the Lord's procession to Mount Zion continues. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode? Yes, where the Lord will dwell forever. The chariots of God are twice 10,000. Thousands upon thousands, the Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. 68:15-17. Mount Bashan was one of the most impressive mountains in the region. Mount Bashan was also the area of one of the great victories on the way to the promised land as Israel defeated Og, king of Bashan. See Deuteronomy 3. While it is much more impressive of a mountain per se, Mount Bashan is asked why it hates and envies Mount Zion, where the Lord has chosen to reside. It is Mount Zion that possesses the Lord's mighty chariots and vast array of armies. The manifest presence of the Lord, which once dwelt at Mount Sinai, would now dwell upon Mount Zion. The ark had completed its long journey. Verse 18 describes the climax of this journey. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. 68:18. The plunder that Israel was given upon their departure from Egypt, which in turn was used to build the ark and the tabernacle, would now serve as the pattern for which all the plunder that David had stockpiled from the defeated nations around Israel would be used for Solomon to construct the temple in Jerusalem. The fitting response of the Lord residing at Mount Zion is praise. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation, Selah. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. 68:19-20. The Lord is worthy of praise, for he has sustained Israel through their journey, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. The Lord is the God who repeatedly saves and delivers his people from start to finish. Such rescue is connected to the sure defeat of all enemies. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. 68:21-23. Reminiscent of the promise of the seed of the woman crushing the head of the serpent's seed, Genesis 3:15, so too will the Lord bring the present enemies of God's people to their demise. While the description has a gruesome feel to it, we should not lose sight of the sober reality that the enemies of the Lord and his people will come to a terrible end. Such is necessary. For the ultimate rest and rescue of the Lord's people is predicated upon all wickedness of every form being completely put down. In light of such removal of all who oppress the Lord and his people, the Lord established himself in Zion. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. 68:24. The language of procession stated here is why it is thought that the historical context is when David brought the ark into Jerusalem. The festive description from 2 Samuel 6:12 through 15 is captured in the celebration fitting the occasion. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord. O you who are Israel's fountain, there is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead. The princes of Judah in their throng. The princes of Zebulun. The princes of Naphtali. 68:25-27. All of Israel, great and small, are united in their celebration of the presence of the Lord in their midst. Yet the aim of the Lord's procession to Mount Zion is not merely for the gathering of Israel, but for the gathering of the nations. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. 68:28-31. As the Lord triumphs over the nations, his strength is displayed for them. Such a display is warrant for the nations to come, as they come to bring tribute. And I will strike all the nations, so that the treasuries of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. See Haggai 2:7-8. The Lord's call is for all the nations to come to him at Mount Zion to worship him. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord, Selah. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. 68:32-35. The God of all the earth directs all the earth to worship him. All peoples everywhere are obligated to sing to the Lord, acknowledging his might, his power, and his majesty. God alone is to be feared, for there is no God but the Lord. As we reflect on Psalm 68, we can consider how the Apostle Paul applies a verse in this psalm to the ascension of the Lord and his giving of plunder to his church. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. See Ephesians 4, 7 through 8. Paul uses Psalm 68, 18 to speak of how Christ imparted gifts to his church. These gifts are the ministry tasks that the Lord assigned within his church for the purpose of building it up. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Certainly, these gifts entail abilities, but their real emphasis is the assigned task that serves others and builds up the church. When Jesus ascended, he distributed these tasks like a victorious conquering king distributes the spoils of his victory. What is intriguing about Paul's application of Psalm 68:18 to Christ and his church is that he slightly adjusts verse 18 as he applies it to the church. David wrote, "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men." 68:18. Whereas Paul wrote, "When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." See Ephesians 4, 7 through 8. Paul slightly adjusts the emphasis from the Lord receiving gifts to Christ who gave gifts. This emphasis does not seriously alter the original statement in Psalm 68, for Ephesians 4 speaks of the Lord receiving gifts at his ascension for the context of the psalm implies that then David turns around and gives those gifts for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. So the notion of the Lord giving is implied in Psalm 68, but made explicit as Paul emphasizes that Christ has provided gifts for the building up of his church. Christ, our conquering king, has taken plunder from his defeated enemies, and the plunder that he obtained, that is rightly his, he has freely given to his people, so that we are empowered and mobilized for ministry. That's all for Embrace the Word for Monday, May 25, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Wednesday, May 27, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 69.